Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Now the same God is blessing Sister Gloria with the Holy Ghost, as was blessing her when she was reaching for the Holy Ghost. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Isn't it great? Isn't it great to have God with us on our way to the promise and have God with us after He fulfills His promise? Hallelujah. It was the same God that was with me when I was repenting of my sin that's with me now that I've been baptized in Jesus' name and got the Holy Ghost. And you know, when Jesus gave us His Word, all through the Word of God, when I talk about Jesus giving us His Word with understanding that God is Spirit and the Spirit of God revealed God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and made it possible that all people could come to God through the door that God provided, named Jesus, which was our Savior that we needed in order to find hope in God. Amen. When I look at the Word of God from beginning to end, all I see is love and reaching out to help others and bring others to love. And even the harshness of some of the battles that we read about in the Old Testament and the rough waters that were experienced, it's all because of the love of God. It's all because of the opportunity of God to make it possible that you can have a way in the wilderness, and that the people who trust Him can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, knowing that He's with us. And those that have enemies that are against God, who come against them, have God on our side. Amen. We have the promises of God and the power of God and the strength of God to fulfill the will of God, to make it possible that nothing can defeat those who are determined to let God lead us forward. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And when God brings us into the kingdom of God, the Word of God tells us now we are the sons of God. Amen. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with being a son of God. There's only one begotten Son of God as far as the way God supplied a Savior for the world. But yet God made it possible that others could be brought in to the kingdom of God and be considered as children, sons and daughters of God. And even we are referred to sometimes as having a brother who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have a father, we have a brother, we have a lawyer, we have a doctor, we have a way maker. We have an incredible God who can do anything at any time and doesn't have to get permission from anybody. Hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus. Amen. I thank Jesus for God. Amen. Isn't He wonderful? Hallelujah. He loves us and He wants us as His children to look at the example of the only begotten Son of God. And now that we are sons of God, also to take the example of God and His only begotten Son and see what the Word of God is all about. And how that Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The proper way that is written before the translators got a hold of it was, I will draw all unto me. Amen. All are being drawn unto Jesus. And then we hear the lesson taught, except you deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. You need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And He provided a way that we could take up our cross and we could follow Him. And that we could be buried with Him in water baptism and rise up with Him to walk in newness of life. He set the pattern for the children of God. He also showed us examples of how to treat the people in the street, in the marketplace, out in the wilderness. No matter who they are, where they come from, no matter what their occupation, no matter what they believe in or don't believe in. Show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly. Love your enemies. Do good to those that don't do good to you. Be nice to those that are not nice to you. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven you. To whom gives mercy, they also receive mercy. Amen. This is the teaching of Jesus. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Hallelujah. He taught us to feed and to clothe and to do all we can to help others. What's it all about? Well, it's all about what God is all about. Love. Hallelujah. God is love. Amen. Amen. God is love. Amen. So, in the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter, you can remain seated. Second chapter, 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, I'm in second chapter of 1 Peter, and I've already covered a lot of territory in two verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, laying it aside, and all guile, all this bitterness that we hear in people sometimes, this old grouchy, sour attitude that sometimes captivates people, this something that finds a way to make things unpleasant no matter how good things are. Get rid of it all. Let aside hypocrisies, pretense, putting on an act, acting like everything's okay when it's not. Or we could think of a lot of phony things that sometimes appear. Lay it aside. Envies. Don't look around and find somebody else that you don't feel right because they're making it. They're doing well. Lay that aside. Be happy if they're happy. Amen. This is the Word of God. Rejoice for those that rejoice. Somebody gets a gift and you didn't get as big a gift, be happy they got a bigger gift. And just wish you could have given them more. Maybe you should go give them the one you received. Hallelujah. It's better to give than to receive. That's the love of God. That's what God teaches. Amen. If you are only on the receiving end, and if you've got to have it, and you're expecting it, and you want somebody to give you something, and it's your birthday, or it's your Christmas party, or it's your time to be receiving something, and all you see in this is, what am I going to get? What's mine? Who's going to do something for me? Are they going to do as much as they did last time? If that's all you can see, you're missing the beautiful thing that's available to see. It is more blessed to give than receive. You would be more blessed to give everything that people give to you to somebody else that needs it more than you do. Hallelujah. And some people want to get it all and give none. Amen. But lay all aside these envies. They get more, they do more, they have more. Quit thinking like that. The Word of God tells us not to think that way. And all evil speakings, lay it aside. No evil speaking allowed in the kingdom of God. That means a whole lot of church people need to repent around the world, because you can sure find a lot of evil conversations. Evil speaking includes talking about somebody else, something you know about somebody, telling somebody something bad. You never find Jesus going around telling somebody else something bad. When you tell your problems to Jesus, it stops right there. It stops right there because He's love. He's an example of love and righteousness and holiness. You want to confide in somebody? Confide in Jesus. You want to tell what you know to somebody? Tell it to Jesus. You got a problem with somebody and you want to share it with somebody? Share it with Jesus, because He knows how to fix it. He knows how to work it out. He knows how to make things better. And we can't make it better by telling somebody who will tell somebody that will tell somebody else. We can't fix it that way. Amen. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, and you may ask yourself, what part of the Word is that? Where do I find the sincere milk of the Word? Is that maybe talking about, let's leave Acts 2:38 and get into some meat of prophecy now? Where is the sincere milk of the Word? Lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all envies and evil speakings, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I can tell you where the sincere milk of the Word is. It's your approach to the Word. Are you sincere? Amen. Do you get something out of the Word because you're desiring to know more about God? And you want God in your life in a greater measure. And you want to be more what God would have you to be. And a deep down desire says, I want Jesus. And I want it like a baby wanting its baby bottle. I want Jesus like a baby reaching for mama. I desire the sincere milk of the Word. I'm not putting on when I say I'm hungry for more of God. I'm sincere about this thing. Amen. And so when we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby, we nourish ourselves. No matter where we are in the Word of God, it's milk to our needful souls. It's milk. Amen. And we find meat there too. Milk and meat go together real good. Amen. Grab a plate of meat when you can, but don't choke on it. Enjoy your sincerity. Amen. You don't have to know everything if you're sincere. If you're sincere, amen, you can rejoice in what you do know. And even rejoice in what you don't know. Hallelujah. Just rejoice that you're able to rejoice. Babies don't rejoice just because they know everything. Hallelujah. Babies jump up and down because it feels good. It seems right. It's okay. I saw that baby tonight when Mama got up here. And Mama was rejoicing. She knew what she was talking about. The baby didn't know what she's talking about, but that baby was clapping her hands, and that baby was saying, yeah! And that baby was going, woo! Because Mama had something to rejoice about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rejoice. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, by the Word, through your sincerity. Hallelujah. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's gracious. The Lord is gracious. Have you ever tasted of that? When you taste that the Lord is gracious, hallelujah, you're never happy till you taste some more. He's gracious. I was walking through a mall and I smelled something good once. And I followed that smell. And I found these people gathered around with some things, little particles of food with toothpicks in them. And they said, taste this. Taste this. Now, I saw that they had this food all ready to go for people that would buy. But they had free samples. Free samples. A limited amount of free samples. Taste. I went into that mall hungry, not expecting to buy any food there, but I was hungry. But when I saw an opportunity to taste of something that was free, that was offered, I grabbed it. Let me have one of those toothpicks with that little piece of food on it. That looks good. That smells good. And I put it in my mouth, and it was good. And you know what? I wanted more. I wanted more. And when I reached for the next toothpick, they said, this is what comes next. Now that you've tasted it, here it is. For only so and so amount of money. And just think of how good that was. You think that's good? Wait till you get the whole thing in you. You know what? I didn't intend to buy it, but I did. And I bought another one. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking about it right now, and if I could be there, I'd go buy one more. Because it was good. And once you've tasted of this, this is the way God operates. It doesn't matter what status in life you are, even if you're a terrible sinner, everywhere you go, He's standing around every corner saying, taste of this. Just taste of this. And once you taste that He is gracious, hallelujah, you can't be satisfied till you have more. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. The Lord is gracious. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. Hallelujah. Now, what is the difference in being appointed to be one that stumbles at the word and being a chosen one that enjoys the sincere milk of the word? It all has to do with obedience and disobedience. God has chosen that the disobedient will fall, and the obedient will inherit all things. Hallelujah. That is where the difference lies. It is appointed. If you cannot obey God, the other option is obey God. It's either obey or don't obey. And it's appointed to those who do not obey God that they will stumble at the word of God. Because every time the word is preached, they're not going to obey if they just, until they change. But it's possible for a disobedient one to be changed into an obedient one, and all the disobedience never be known or seen again. Because God can remove disobedience out of your life. Hallelujah. But as long as we're disobedient, we stumble at the word. But when we become obedient, we feast on the word. We feast on the word. You're a chosen generation. Who? You who become obedient. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. What's that mean? When was I never not a people? When was I ever not a people? This is saying it's possible that it's somewhere in your life you could be not a people. You got flesh and blood and you walk around and you think and you get an education, you're still not a people. I thought I was a people. No, you're not a people until you are a people of God. When in time past we're not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy. Why hadn't they obtained it? Because they didn't receive it. That's why. The mercy was there. Hallelujah. But if you don't receive it, you don't get it. Hallelujah. And you're not a people until you receive the mercy that God has provided. Amen. But now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, there's a lot more depth in what I just talked about, but I'm just staying in the shallow waters right now. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And there's your breakdown right there. You want details on where to draw the lines in your humanity? Abstain from fleshly lust. Now you, in your privacy, write down the list of the things you need to abstain from, and don't come and ask me for a detailed list, because I don't know what your hang-up is. But whatever it is, if it's fleshly lust, abstain from it if you want to enjoy the blessings of God. But what if this and what if that and what about this? No, I said, don't come to me with that. You work that out in your private moments. I got problems of my own. I have enough to deal with without yours. Amen. Having your conversation honest. Now, I don't mean I don't want to listen to your problems. I just don't want to listen to your lust problems. Amen. Because I know the answer. It's the answer for me. It works for me, and it's going to work for you when I tell you. If you're not obedient to the Word of God, you're going to stumble when I tell you. So why even fool with the conversation? Hallelujah. I tell you not to do it anymore, and you're going to do it anyhow. Why ask me what to do? Says that, if it's something you don't agree with, some of you, you're going to say, well, I don't agree with that because it feels so good. Okay, abstain from it. If you can't, so be it. I can, I am, and I'm going on. Praise God. Hang up the phone. Having your conversation honest. Having your conversation honest.
Yes, that's right. Honest.
There's so much dishonesty in so-called church people today. So much dishonesty. They go up and they testify, oh, God's been good to me. I've got the victory. I am so happy in my Jesus. But they don't love the neighbor as themselves. Hallelujah. You can't have that kind of a testimony and it be honest if you don't love your neighbor as yourself.
Hallelujah.
Okay, how much you spoke in tongues and how wet you got in the waters of baptism. You need to love, and not as a rule that you have to love. It needs to be a love shared abroad in your heart that makes you want to go to somebody, makes you want to be with somebody, makes you want to listen to somebody, makes you want to be there for them when they're in trouble. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But what if it's my mother-in-law? Love her. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's reaching for your mama-in-law. God loves your mother-in-law, but you don't know what she did to me. Well, you don't know what all you've done to God either, and God forgave you, so why don't you forgive her? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you don't know what my boss put me through. Well, you don't know what all you put God through. Did you realize that Jesus Christ was crucified on an old rugged cross? You know who it was for? You and me. And how dare I say, somebody treated me wrong and therefore I'll never speak to them again. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ still speaks to us after we have placed nails in His hands and feet and pierced His side and brought Him into a place of humility and open shame and let Him be crucified? You say, well, I wasn't there. Well, when you were born, that was there was there to meet you. See, when I pray, I don't go back 2,000 years, but what was there 2,000 years ago is still there for me. Hallelujah, because there is a spiritual sacrifice involved here. What God wants me to do is desire the sincere milk of the Word and be real and be honest and be pure in heart.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, and love others and love my enemies and love my friends and be patient and kind and true and long-suffering. Amen. And let love be without pretense. Hallelujah. And come boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need that I can find mercy and help for the thing that I have need of. Because I do have somebody that can be approached. I do have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I do have somebody that loves me even though he was there to be crucified because of the sins of those of that day and before that day and the sins of my day. But praise God, my sins went down upon an altar and ended up on a cross, and Jesus went into a tomb and I went into the waters of baptism and Jesus came forth alive and I am walking arise and risen with Him in newness of life, and I'm a baby and I'm sincere about this Word of God. I want more of God. And I see people treating church lightly. My whole life is nothing, is dedicated to nothing other than giving it to this church, this cause, and to God. And if nobody else wants to pay attention to me of this, I still want it with all my heart. But I know that others do. But that's my attitude. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not here doing what I do because it's just something to do. Oh, there are a lot of things I like to do. But I love this. I love this. I love this. Oh, I can see a clock. Amen. I'm almost through. Amen. I think. Which during times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which would war against your soul. Having a conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, don't tell me that works are not important, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself, therefore, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Why is that in the Bible? It's because God is interested in the soul of every police officer, of every judge, of every lawyer, of every president, of every king, of every person in charge, of every senator, of every congressman. God loves them just as much as He loves you. Hallelujah. And He has a people for His namesake. He has a chosen people. He has people that He has chosen that have chosen Him. And He says, I want you to be a witness unto Me. And He has sent us forth into all the earth and multiplied His church and grown His church to where we're all over the earth. And when opportunity presents itself, sometimes it's in the form of being able to submit to authority. Whether it be at church or at the courthouse. Whether it be at church or at voting time. Some people in church brag about how I don't vote. I don't vote. My kingdom is of God and I'm no longer of this world. Wait just a minute. Jesus, the only begotten Lamb, Son, example of God, came to this earth to save people. And some of those people are people who vote. Who are not a people, but can become a people. If somebody will rub shoulders with them at the voting poll and say, it's not just to be able to vote, it's just to be with you. Because, hey, I saw you somewhere. I heard you somewhere. My, fancy meeting you here. What are you doing here? Well, I'm voting. But down in your heart, you know, I'm really here because I wanted to hear you say what you said. And now I've found an opportunity to make it possible to shed some love abroad. And now that the voting machine is over with, let's go have a hamburger. That's what God's all about. Oh, it may not be quite that cut and dry. I mean, all the scripture, you read a verse and you've got 10,000 things that happen that the verse represents. Hamburger eating time might be 4 months later. But between there might be a few phone calls, a few visitations, a few cards written, somebody. And where did you meet them at? Back when the presidential race was on, and now here we are 4 or 5 months later, still have a friend. So much more, friend, because now they know more. They know where you go to church. They know something about your family. They know something about your life. Because ever since you got acquainted, they've been watching you. Amen. What do they see? Honesty, purity, love, kindness, patience, consistency. One of the most terrible things we can do to somebody who has been watching us for a long time is for them to finally show up to the church that we love and for us to not be here for them with no excuse. And if they do show up and there is a good reason for somebody that can't be here who maybe it's not just the fact that they were invited, but they lived such a life that made them desire this. And they came and they said, but where's so-and-so? I expected that person to be here. It's so good. That's what it's all about. When I ask if you got a miss, make sure the pastor knows what's going on. Because it just could be that somebody's been watching you for 3 years will show up when you do miss. And I just want to be able to say, everything's all right. I'm so glad you're here and fill in for you. It may not happen, but it may happen. I'll tell you when it usually happens. It's that one time you had to be gone. Even if you got a good reason. And so it's not a pastor demanding that you do it because I like to rule you. It's a pastor that wants to love God who loves people. Enough to know that we have been on radio and TV and internet for years. And thousands of people. I walk in some of these restaurants around here. And I hear people say, "Where's so-and-so? He used to go to your church." I notice that seat's not... He's not sitting there anymore. What's that mean? That means somebody's been watching that life. Somebody's been watching that life. And when somebody asks me about church people, sometimes usually the ones they ask me about is somebody that's no longer serving God. How is so-and-so? Why can't they ask me, "How's Brother Joe?" I'd love to talk about how's Brother Joe. Or how's Brother Rick? Or how's Sister Gloria? No, they pick somebody they haven't seen around for 8 years. You know what that means? If they pick somebody that hasn't been seen for 8 years, that means they were watching that person 8 years ago. And for 8 years, they wondered, what happened? Praise God. It pays to be consistent with this thing. To stick with it. And whether we like it or not, when we lose out with God, a lot of people may be losing out with God. Because they're already not a people. And God sent forth His people to make people who are not a people want to become a people. Hallelujah! It's through desire that churches grow. Not through rules and regulation. It's desire cultivated by love from church people to people who are not church people. Hallelujah! I love to love people who don't know God. Hallelujah! Almost to... Really, honestly. Amen. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Now he's talking to church people, telling church people how to treat people that are not church people. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Don't just be nice to nice folks. Be nice to mean folks too. Jesus was nice to mean folks. That's why we're here. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called. Called to what? Be buffeted once in a while. For His sake. I mean, at least you're not having to be crucified. A little bump once in a while along the way. Something going wrong. Car breaks down. Hey, that may be an opportunity. More than one time I've seen God use my broken down car and my not knowing what to do. I was like, I saw three dogs Tuesday night after church. Somebody had evidently left these nice, beautiful dogs out on the street. I don't know what happened. Maybe they were traveling and they got tired of them in the car. I don't know what happened. But I saw three lost, beautiful pets. You could tell they were used to being at home with family. They were lost. They were lost. They were on the street. They didn't know which way to go. running out in front of cars and everybody having to stop. And two of them were following the leader. They all looked just alike. Beautiful dogs. But they were lost, looking so helpless. And the two dogs were looking to the one dog, as if that dog knows where to go. And it didn't matter where that dog went, the other two went with it, because they were lost. They were lost. I saw them go out in front of car after car, and I saw people having to swerve and move for them. I don't know where the dogs went. It was a cold night, and somebody didn't have mercy on their pets, and they abandoned their dogs in the middle of Norwich. And I saw those little dogs going through the streets like a lot of people are going through life, needing somebody to stop and say, "I'll help you." Now, if you would stop and try to pick up one of those dogs, you might get dog bit. Because they were lost. They didn't know which way to go. And I'm not saying you should go out dog hunting tonight after church. But we are considered, when we don't know God, as a people that are not a people. And even referred to sometimes as dogs. But God wants us to all become people that are a people. And not as a dog returning to its vomit. But He wants us to become a people that are a people. That can go out to those people who can become a people. And say, "Look, I've got what you need." And at first, they're lost. They don't know what's going on. They might bite you or growl at you. Or try something that you don't like that makes you uncomfortable. Be ready to dodge, duck, hide behind a tree. But keep on letting them know God cares, I care, and we are here to help you. Hallelujah! We're here to help you. I'm all through. Let's stand. Most. Amen. Glory. Amen. And it winds up with this. Or this is where I'm winding up, because I could go right into the next chapter. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. Amen. This is the reason we were called. Because Christ also suffered for us, having us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. You know what would have happened to those little dogs the other night if I could have somehow found their master. If I could have somehow made the connection and found that maybe they just got out of the car at the service station and the master was looking for them. And they didn't know which way to go, what to do. If somehow I could have put that master with those puppies. Don't you know they would have wagged their tails. And they would have licked those hands. And they'd have been so happy. That's the way people are too. I know who the master is. They don't know where he is. But if I can be there for them, they can know him. Let us praise him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Behold, what manner of love. Thank you, Jesus. For God so loved the world. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Be good to those who are not good to you. Praise Him some more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's face this new year determined to bring some people to Jesus. God love you. Amen. Brother Joe.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We can do it. We have the love that this world is looking for. Genuine love. Love that causes us to be known as the saints of God. Amen. Let's thank God one more time here tonight before we go. Lord, thank you tonight for just your grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for, Lord, being with your people. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you for your mercy tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your protection, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen. I'll say this and then you can go. Between now and when we see each other again, we will have gone through Christmas Day. There are a lot of people who misunderstand when I say I don't celebrate Christmas beyond any other day. Let me say it another way. Amen. I don't celebrate Christ less on Christmas. And what, if you understand what I'm saying, I'm just saying, I celebrate Christ, the birth of Christ, every day. And I'm not suggesting that anybody in any way cause somebody to think that you're not thankful for the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you want to give gifts and say, I'm thankful for Jesus, and you want to do that, that's fine. I may even do it again sometimes and people think I'm inconsistent if I do, but I will if I want to. I'll do it any day of the week. I gave a gift the other day. We gave a gift to somebody, and we'll do it again all through the year. We give gifts. And I'll do it on Christmas Day if I want to. Amen. And I'm not celebrating Christ less on Christmas. But I'm going to tell you, if we can get involved in taking advantage of joy to the world, people singing Christmas songs and loving God, God loves everybody that's celebrating Christmas. Every one of them. Amen. And I don't want us to be apostolics with a sourpuss attitude during the holidays. Hallelujah. If sinners can get out there and sing joy to the world, then we need to be the joy they're singing about and be out there with them singing about the God that they need to know. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.